Okay, ready to go? So we're in Perek Yudches, the 18th chapter. We gave a bit of an introduction last week. We explained a couple of things outside. Now we're going to do it inside. So it's a bit of repetition, but it was a complicated concept. So review, I think, is in order. Plus there's some new things that come when we do the text. So just to remind everyone, so Perek Yudches, the 18th chapter, gives us a different avenue to access love for Hashem. Because again, Tanya is based on the pasuk that Yiddishkeit Torah is accessible to us both in speech, action, and in the heart. Levavcha, that was that word, the key word, levavcha, which is about love and fear of Hashem, which is crucial to really being a Beinoni, because that's what elevates our mitzvahs, that's what drives the Torah mitzvahs, the commitment, the consistency, and so on and so forth. So one way we had was full-blown love in the heart, the other way was intellectual love, that is really created the mind. But now he's talking about something else called the Ava Mesuteris, the hidden love, the innate emunah and love that every Yid has, right? Which he said is deep in the neshama, which we inherited from Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Avos and the Emors, and so on. All right, so let's do it inside, and we'll cover some of the stuff we did. So it's page 46 in the thing. It's in small tiny. You got it, Lisa? So we're going to start not from the beginning of the chapter. We did that, but the V'ha'inyan, that's about just under half down. You know, see the dot there? Adele, you have it there? If you show me, I'll find a few. Sorry, here we are. Oh, I see how it works, okay. Yeah, chapter 18. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, Inyan. So the concept is as follows. Ki ha'avos, first of all, the first principle is ki ha'avos hein hein amrakova, that the forefathers were a chariot to Hashem, which means they're complete bittul, and they had this oneness with Hashem, which is a reference here really to the 10 spheres of Atzilus, as we explained last year, right? Remember we explained last week, Atzilus is the first world, but it's not really a world, it's Hashem's world, it's Hashem's Midas, Hashem's Chochma, Hashem's Bina, and so on. Therefore, because they were a Mekovev, Al-Kain Zochu, therefore they merited Lahamshich, to bring down Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, a neshama, soul, made up of three conscious parts, which is called the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama, livneim achareim, to their children after them, ad olam, eternally, which comes from eser sfirus to kedusha. It comes from the 10 spheres of holiness. Right? Where are these 10 spheres? We explained it last week at length. Shaba arba olamis abya. These 10 spheres are in the four worlds of Atzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, Asiyah. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning the four worlds is because not everyone's neshama comes straight from Atzilus. In fact, very few neshamas come right from Atzilus. They all originate in Atzilus, but and the core source is Atzilus, but some neshamas are from Bria, Yetzirah, Asiyah, and in Asiyah itself, lower levels, high levels, and so on. That's why he says, they managed to bequeath, so to speak, all their descendants with a neshama. L'chol echad ve'echad k'fi madrigasa, each one according to their level, or k'fi myself. Right? And according to the action. So it all depends what kind of person we are. Now he says, well, I'll call him, but at least, but what's the bottom line? That our filu shibakal shibakal, even a person who's a, it's an expression, kal shibakal, which means like the lowest of the low kind of thing, like the person not too interested in Yiddish guy kind of thing, right? Poishe Yisrael, even sinners. Nimshach bezivugam, when they live with each other, which means they produce children, they're able to bring down an neshama. Sometimes the behavior of the parents also has an effect. That something speaks about the very beginning of Tanya. The behavior of the parents also affects the type of neshama they bring down to their children. But even if they bring down a lower level neshama, right, it's still nefesh, the nefesh He calls it nefesh de nefesh, the malchus de asiyah. Shehi madrega ha-tachtoynish begdusha asiyah. So that's the santana. The lowest level you can get is a neshama that comes, number one, from the world of asiyah. Number two, from malchus of asiyah. Number three, which part of the neshama is the dominant part, the lower part called the nefesh. And not only that, it could be what we call in Kabbalah nefesh de nefesh. In other words, each one nefesh, ruach, neshama, comprises of the three nefesh, ruach, and neshamas, like intertwining sort of thing. The lowest level would be a double thing, nefesh of nefesh, of malchus of asir. Right? That's the lowest level of the neshama you can get. What's his point? Point's like this. Yahu b'kei, nevertheless, me'acha shehim e'esa sviris kedoshis, once the neshama comes from one of the spheres, the holy spheres, even if it's malchus of asir, and even if it's only nefesh, the nefesh of malchus of asir, he kulula mikulan. All the spheres are connected. Right? In other words, malchus of asiyah is connected to gan mechochme de asiyah shebesoicha. It's connected to the chochme of asiyah, which is in it. Sorry. Gan mechochme de asiyah shebesoicha, which in chochme of asiyah, belubeshes chochme de malchus de atzilis. So the way it works like this, right? All the spheres are comprised of all ten. You know, we do in the Sfira, so every now we say Chesed of Chesed, Chesed of Gvura, Chesed of Gvura, Chesed. They're all intertwined, right? So, in Malchus of Asiya is connected to Chochma of Asiya. Chochma of Asiya has in it Malchus of Yitzira, because the Malchus of Yitzira is what produces. In every world, the Malchus is the feminine energy that produces and gives birth to the next world. Now, Malchus of Asiya itself, Malchus of Yitzira itself, has in it Chochma of Malchus, which that Chochma of Malchus goes back to the Chochma of Yitzira. And the whole thing keeps on repeating itself, right? Yeah, you with me? We have okay, Ma'achashim, sorry. Shubesoicha Chochma that, yeah. Gamma Chochma that Asiya, Shubesoicha Mulubeshes Chochma de Malchus that Atzilis. Shubesoicha Chochma that Atzilis. So you go back to the Malchus of Atzilis, which then you go back to the Chochma of Atzilis. What's Chochma of Atzilis? Chochma Atzilis is Shabom Meir Oirein Sov Baruch Hu Mamash. Chochma Atzilis is that connecting level. It's part of Atzilis, but in it really shines the infinite light of Hashem. Right? When we explain that, should we do that again? So Chochma is that point, right? It's the point of, insertion. In other words, sorry?
Insertion,
yeah. In other words, like this, that even Atzilis, which is Hashem's world, so it's Hashem's spheres, nevertheless, it's limited in some sense because Hashem chose to manifest himself in 10 definitions, right? What's before Atzilis, or as we know, call it sometimes Lamaila Meseder Ishtalshlus, higher than the Seder Ishtalshlus, is Oyer En Sof, and the infinite light of Hashem, right? Hashem in its purity, so in its purity, right? Undefinedness. That Oyer En Sof is revealed in Chochmah, right? So just to explain a little bit, just like Chochmah with us. Chochmah is one of the powers of the soul. It's considered one of the three intellectual powers of the soul. Yet, it's not mamash a tool of intellectualization because actually it's the tool that connects us to higher than what we're thinking. That's why it's the flash of truth. Right? My father-in-law always used to repeat this concept, Chassidus, that the difference in Chochmah and Bina is that with Chochmah, what was the wording? In Chochmah, the Seichel lives in you. In Bina, you... No, sorry. In Chochmah, the Seichel grasps you. Bina, you grasp the Seichel. What does it mean? It means you're talking about an idea that's beyond you, right? Chochmah means about a new idea, a new concept that's beyond you. Right? So Chochmah is the idea of Bittul. In other words, Chochmah is the idea that you didn't make up anything. Actually, you don't understand anything. What's been happening is that the concept that you're trying to work out, that flash, that truth, grabs you, comes into you. In other words, Chochmah is a level which is totally bottle to what's higher than it. You follow? Mm-hmm. So Chochmah is the idea that what's higher than Chochmah grabs it. That's why when you have Chochmah, you don't understand anything, yet it's the most certain. Right? I'm talking about now how Chochmah works in the Seichel. It's the most certain. In other words, it's that point that I got it. It's absolutely, I got it 100%. What do you get? I have no idea. I mean, I can't explain it. Because I don't understand it yet. It grasps me. I don't grasp it yet. Bina is when I turn it around. Bina is when I dilute the intensity a little bit. That's why sometimes that certainty goes away in Bina. But it's, I understand the concept now. So Chochmah Atzilus is the same thing. Chochmah Atzilus is at one point where, in other words, like this, when you get to Bina and Das and Chesed and Gevurah Atzilus, even though it's if Atzilus, you can't say about the other spheres of Atzilus that the Or Ein Sof shines there, is completely revealed there, the infinity is revealed there, because it's already a definition. Now it's true that the Zohar says that Hashem and his spheres are one and it's all part of Hashem and it's godliness, etc., etc., but you can't say that's a revelation of the Or Ein Sof because it's somewhat defined already. Whereas Chochmah Atzilus is that connecting point. That's why Chochmah Atzilus is able to take it and bring it down later into the other things of Atzilus. But it's that connecting point where the Or Ein Sof is totally, in other words, it's the part of it. It's in Atzilus, but it's still completely bottled to higher than Atzilus. Because it's where the Or Ein Sof is revealed in it. Yeah, so we're talking about how the spheres work. So Keser is something else. Keser is what's Rotzen, is above, what's above the spheres. So Keser is already the, in Chassidus, Keser is called the, in other words like this, that we know creation only starts from Bria, right? So what's Atzilus called? Atzilus is not called a Bria, it's called, like what's in Bria, is even angels of Bria are called Nivroim, they're called creations. Atzilus is something, nothing's called a creation, it's called the Netzal, it's brought forth. So it's an existence that is brought forth. But Keser is part of the Ma'atzil, the one who brings it forth. Otherwise, Keser is still a revelation of Or Ein Sof. If you want to get technical in Kabbalah, it's after the concept of Tzimtzum already, but still it's the revelation of Or Ein Sof, the way it is. And Atzilus, Keser itself has two levels. So it's not for now. I mean, this is itself a concept. But generally speaking, the ten spheres are Das. We count Das. The Arizal counts Das. Finally follows the system of the Arizal.
And that's the Zohar.
No, not necessarily. Everyone believes in the Zohar. Zohar is written by Rashi Mayachai. It's based on the Zohar, of course, based on the Zohar. But post Zohar, there were other forms of Kabbalah, by the way. But Tanya is very Chassidus Chabad in general. All Chassidus really, but Chassidus Chabad particularly. There's no other Kabbalah besides Arizal. Arizal is the ultimate, final psak of Kabbalah. We have a tradition that Arizal was taught Kabbalah by Eliyahu Hanavi.
So Nitzvot Olam is the Arizal? No, that's the Maharal. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the modern Hasidic Sefer called the Nesivah stuff.
Okay, all right.
That's the Maharal. Maharal is pre Chassidus. Maharal is not. Maharal is very interesting. A lot of Tanya is based in part on that Maharal, really. In the beginning of Tanya, it says that Alter Rebbe wrote Tanya. Svarim was soifrim, based on svarim or books and scholars. So we have a tradition, although it's generally all based on Arizal, but the svarim that he talks about is the Maharal and the Shaloh. Shaloh was a big makubal, the Maharal also was a big makubal. The soifrim, the people he's talking about, is the Magid of Mizrich and the Baal Shem Tov. Right? That's the source of Tanya, but it's all ultimately based on the Kabbalah of the Arizal. Maharal was not far after that result, actually. Yeah, Maharal was just after that result. But Maharal's style is not Kabbalah. The Maharal, his terminology is more philosophical. Although this is another topic completely, but the whole system of learning this Kabbalah, and then there's a system of learning called Chakira. Chakira is Jewish philosophy, essentially. I mean, Torah philosophy, I'm talking about. No, Kabbalah is not philosophy. Kabbalah is Vakert, on the contrary. Kabbalah is mystical secrets that are handed down. In fact, it's Kabbalah by definition is actually transcends the logical rationale.
So God
understands. No, but Tanya brings it down to understand. That was the whole chiddush of Tanya. It took the Pnimius HaTorah, it took things that are the inner essence of Torah and brought it down to the human brain. You have to keep at it, and that's why it's so hard. But it's okay. It chips away, don't worry, it chips away. The more you learn, the more you understand.
I'm just confused myself while listening to this. Nefesh, Ruach, what's...
Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama is levels of the Neshama.
Yeah.
OK, Okay, Nefesh is the lowest level of the Neshama. The Neshama has five names. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida.
Right.
Well, no. So the Nefesh originates in the 10 spheres.
I've completely confused myself.
Okay. See. The origin of the Neshama is somewhere in the 10 spheres. Some people, it's 10 spheres of Asiya, others, okay, etc. Now, we have different, even the Neshama has five levels. Each Neshama has five levels. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. But, in that, everyone's Neshama is connected to one of those. We all have all five levels, but each Neshama is connected to one of those five levels. Therefore, the lowest level of Neshama is Nefesh. Right? Which means a person can have a Neshama that's ruled by Nefesh. Which means his Neshama is a lower level. Right? And if you combine all the low levels together, if a person has a Neshama that's Nefesh, or even Nefesh, the Nefesh, as I said before, and its origin is the Malchus of Asiyas, that's the lowest level of Neshama you can get. In other words, there can be a Ruach Neshama that comes from Malchus of Asiyas. Right? Now, his point was that every Neshama connects all the way back, ultimately, to Chochmah of Atzilus. What is Chochmah of Atzilus? It's the place in the order of Ishtalshelus, in the order of the four worlds, where the Or Ein Sof is revealed. It's part of the order, it's already part of Atzilus, but it's that part of Atzilus that the Or Ein Sof is revealed in it. Because it's total bittul. It's part of, but it's just, I veer to explain the analogy of how Chochmah works with us. Similar idea, otherwise it's the part of our Seichel that's connected to the higher Seichel. Same thing in Atzilus, it's the part of Atzilus which is connected to the higher Or Ein Sof. So he's asking about Kesef. So Kesef is a complicated topic. Because sometimes we look in some Kabbalistic charts, if you Google the 10 spheres, you'll get pictures of sometimes Das missing and Keser. So there's a concept of Keser, that when Das is not counted, Keser is counted. Because Das also has a very important power, Das like connects back to Keser. It's not for now. But essentially the difference, in other words, the whole order of Madregas is divided different ways in Hasidus, depending what you're talking about and where you're talking. For the purpose of this discussion, we have the four worlds. So above the four worlds is Ein Sof. Now, in Ein Sof itself, there are many, many levels. Some of those levels are post-Tzimtzum, which include Keser, but that's another discussion. Okay. But while we're talking about where Chassidus is based on. So this is based on, obviously, Pnimius HaTorah, which is more connected with Kabbalah, based on their results Kabbalah. Maral is more language of Chakira, that's what we were saying, philosophy, like more looking. Rambam is more philosophical. However, these people were great Mekubalim also. I mean, it's interesting with the Rambam. There's a big school of thought that believes that the Rambam didn't know any Kabbalah. We don't believe that. We believe that Rambam was a big Mekubal, but didn't write Kabbalah. So there's great concepts of Kabbalah in the Rambam. And the Rebbe brings a lot of proofs for that. Yeah, separate discussion. Okay, there's a big thing to make the Rambam be rationalist. I don't subscribe to that. Yeah, he writes rational stuff, but he wasn't such a rationalist, as people make him out to be. Anyway, that's a big topic, controversial topic. Okay. Chassidus is not, Yiddishkeit is not a rational religion altogether. So it translates into rational. Of course, you can explain many things, but it's based on the Emunah. Okay. Back to the topic. So, every Neshama, the lowest Neshama, dates back to Chochmah Chassidus, right? Which in Chochmah Atzilus, as he says, is Meir Oir Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Chochmah Atzilus is where the infinite light of Hashem shines. Kedichsiv is Hashem B'Chochmah Yosad Oretz. That Hashem founded creation with Chochmah. V'kulam B'Chochmah Atzisa. And everything is made, we say in Davin every day, that Hashem, you made everything with Chochmah. Literally means you made everything with great wisdom. But we're saying over here, Kabbalistically means everything you made ultimately dates back to Chochmah. Right? So in terms of the Neshama, now with the rest of creation, also dates back to Chochmah, of course, because as we said last week, everything is rooted in the 10 spheres. But with the rest of creation, it's through a tremendous concealment, so it's not apparent at all, right? Because the rest of creation is Dibur, it's speech. Speech, by definition, is a Tzimtzum mechanism where you conceal what's behind the speech. But we, the Neshamas, come from Machshava, come from thought. The thought of Hashem is one with Hashem. Now, even in that, there's many levels, so you can have a Neshama from Malchus of Asiyah. But when it connects back to Chochmah of Atzilus, it means that ultimately every Neshama is connected to Chochmah of Atzilus. Right? Which means, therefore, Ki ein sof baruch hu melubish b'chinas chochmah shebenefesh ha'adam, which means the infinite light of Hashem is enclosed, is embedded in the chochmah of the neshama, right? Yiyeh mi sheyiyeh mi Yisrael, whoever the Jew is. So he introduces this concept of the chochmah of the neshama. Different language than the Pintalehit sometimes, but it's the same idea. In other words, the chokhmah of the neshama, there's a reason why he talks in this language, and I think the reason is because he's not even talking about the Pintalehit. The Pintalehit comes from a part of the neshama that's higher than everything. He's talking about the conscious part of the Pintalehit is not the conscious part of the neshama. But even in the consciousness of the neshama, we're able to access this love. Right? Through the mechanism of chokhmah. Chokhmah is the part of the consciousness of the neshama that is bittul, that it has a bittul to Hashem, and a bittul to the infinite light of Hashem. Right? Ubechinas ha-chokhmah shabah, and the chokhmah, which is in the neshama, here in Sof Baruch Hu. Ha-melubish ba, this chokhmah of the soul, which is the part which is bittul, and part which has in it the infinite light of Hashem, mispashetes b'chol b'chinas ha-nefesh kula, ultimately spreads into the entire neshama, la'chayoyse, to keep it alive, b'chinas roisha ad b'chinas raglo, from its head to its foot, from the highest level to the lower level. It's all in light and all, it's all invigorated, it's all life-forced by the chokhmah of the neshama. K'detziv ha-chokhmah t'chayim ba'leah, right? As it says, there's a pasuk, the chokhmah gives life. He adds in brackets an interesting thing, right? He says, this is even if it's a low neshama, and he mentioned before that sometimes low neshama is brought down by parents on a low level. However, he says, it's an interesting thing, that actually sometimes, this is just a side Kabbalistic comment, sometimes sinners can bring down very, very high levels of neshama. Okay, it's another thing. Otherwise, sometimes they can bring down very, very lofty neshamas that had been trapped in the world of Klippa. There's this concept that some neshamas are trapped in the world of Klippa.
God put down this, God did this, not us.
Sorry?
Hashem did this, not us.
What do you mean?
Bring down the
neshamas.
Now we do. Hear it.
No, in other words, yeah, but Hashem sends down, there is a contribution that the parents have to make. What do you mean? We do. It says the behavior of parents affect the level of neshama that Hashem will send through. It's not for the topic now, but I'm just saying there is such a concept that, I mean, it's from it's written. That's the whole thing of Kedusha, bringing holiness into intimacy. It's one of the reasons, one of the ideas, right? But sometimes there's, sometimes Kabbalistically there's been very high levels in the Shamas, which is a concept in Kabbalah in general, that there's a concept of very high neshamas that are sometimes trapped in the world of Klippa, right? That's why we find many things are explained by that. And so it's got to do also, by the way, it's got to do with Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon had all 600,000 neshamas attached to him, which were all affected negatively by the sin of the Eitz Hadas, right? And some of them fell off and were captured by Klippa. That's why that's the concept of a ger, a true ger who converts properly. It's actually one of those neshamas that has been dormant in the lives of non-Jews because it's been captured by a different world. It's also the idea that the Gemara tells us that actually it was certain mamash great rishoyim that either converted, became great tzaddikim, or they gave birth to children who out of them came very, very great people. Rachav who married Yehoshua, right? She was, according to many opinions, she was a prostitute. She converted, she did tshuva, she married Yehoshua, and out of her came like 8 Nevi'im or something. 8 prophets came from her. Because she had him within an amazing neshama, which was, yeah. So sometimes there's all these different, that's not the point of this Tanya now. I mean, this is an interesting, by the way, Chassidus Chabad doesn't actually deal with this stuff mainly. It doesn't involve itself so much in how neshamas work and different levels and how they travel, how they journey. It's an interesting topic, but it's not really, in other words, Kabbalah deals with that much more. The Arizal deals with that a lot. There's a sefer called Sefer Gilgulim. They say for the journey of the souls and reincarnation of souls, fascinating stuff. Chassidus doesn't really do that. Chassidus is about oneness of Hashem. In other words, Chassidus only takes from Kabbalah things that will help us understand the oneness of Hashem and how to serve Hashem better. That's on a pnimi satori, on a inner way, right? That's the base. Okay. That's just a side point. Okay. So that's what. So what's the bottom line? Every neshama, whatever the neshama is, has within the chachma of that neshama the Or Ein Sof, because the chachma of that neshama will date back, will go back, connect back to the chachma of Atzilus. Okay. So he says, what's chachma? He says, like, it gives what I said before. Hine ha-chachma yimokar ha-sechel. We call chachma the origin of intellect, v'avona and understanding, but v'ilamayla mehabina. It's higher than bina. That is explaining why chachma, we use chachma, the model of chachma. Chachma, bina, shu'a vonas ha-secha v'asagosei. Chachma, bina is when you understand the concept. V'achachma yilamayla mehavona v'asagosei. But chachma actually, by definition, is higher than understanding. That's why in a person's chachma, even if we call it understanding, it's not really understanding, it's when a concept comes in that you don't understand. And you've got to then intellectualize it through bina. V'umakal, and it's the source of the chachma. V'uzeu loshen chachma, that's why it's called chachma. Because chachma, as we said before, is koyach ma. It's a power, but what is it? It's nothing. It's not actually a power. It's not one of the, it's one of the 10 powers of the soul, but it's not really a power of the soul. A power of the soul means it's part of the consciousness of the soul. Right? Chachma is not really part of the consciousness. It's part of the list, but it's actually the source of consciousness. It's higher than consciousness. Shuma she'eino musu gemuvin, it's really, chachma really is a vehicle for what is not understood. The ein and nitpas ba sogadain, something that cannot be understood yet through understanding. The lochem is labash bo erin soparachu. That's why chachma vatzilus particularly, but then it connects to all chachmas, is a vehicle for the infinite light of Hashem. The infinite light of Hashem is the revelation of Hashem that is completely transcendent, completely higher than any form of understanding. The less machshava tvisa beklal, it's about when we apply the phrase of the Zohar that no thought can grasp it. Lochin kol Yisrael, therefore every Jew, even someone that hasn't learned anything, uses the phrase, not, it's not such a politically correct phrase, but that's the phrase used because women traditionally didn't learn. So he says, afilu anoshim ve'ameores, otherwise even the people don't learn, which in those times was women and people who were ignorant and illiterate people and so on, right? But what he's finding out is even people who don't learn, hey ma'amini ma'ashem, they believe in God. There's a concept of amunah. Amunah lives in chachma. Because actually a munna is higher than knowledge. That's what a munna is. The Tanya definition of munna anyways. Right? Some people translate a munna things you can prove. No, it's not a munna actually. Munna is believing something you can't prove. You don't understand. Right? Because we have this phrase, he says, Ki pesi yamin, it's a pasuk. Ki pesi yamin l'choldover v'orom yovin. A fool will believe everything. There's a chazal that says, who's referred to when it says a fool believe everything? Refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was no fool, right? It means that he rose to the level of, his level of Amunah was unbelievable. But really that spark of Amunah is in every yid.
So our inheritance of the connection that the love comes from Abraham, but Amunah comes from Moshe, it's an inheritance from Moshe.
No, it's not saying, it's just saying that's
I'm
it's
just
a,
asking.
No. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in Zohar, was responsible for internalizing Amunah. You see, Amunah, right? I mean, if you ask about Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was called in Zohar Raya Mehem, the faithful shepherd, or, like it's explained sometimes, not a faithful shepherd, but a shepherd of faith. Meaning he's, right? There's two ways to translate Raya Mehem. The Rebbe brings it in the last Maimer, Maimer of Purim Katan, the one he gave out before he has stroke. Right, it's a long maimer, a very, very fundamental maimer. That's a maimer we should wonder. When we finish Tanya, we will learn that maimer. Meaning he feeds faith. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu feeds faith. What does that mean? It explains there that, see, Amunah by definition is transcendent. It means you believe something you don't understand. Therefore, it's actually not internalized. That's its problem, right? Because it's makif. It's all encompassing. Therefore, that's why we have this concept that you can be a gunner for Davin Stashem to be successful, right? But so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu's job is to feed the faith, that it should feed. Food means something you internalize, you ingest. Right? So but the source of Amunah is not that. The source of Amunah is higher than consciousness. It's higher than understanding. That's what Amunah is. Moshe Rabbeinu helps us internalize the Amunah. Okay, something else, right? But it comes from the Ovos, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who gave us an Neshama, because they were a merkava to the spheres of Atzilus. They were a merkava to Chochmah of Atzilus. And therefore, they were one with Chochmah of Atzilus, and therefore, what they gave to us was the same thing. gave us a piece of Atzilus, a piece of Chochmah of Atzilus, so to speak, right? If you can say it that way. And we just proved that every Yid essentially is connected to Chochmah of Atzilus, every Neshama. What therefore the Ohr Ein Sof is revealed, what lives there in the Chochmah of the Nefesh, therefore? Emunah. Because in that Chochmah we have the revelation of Ohr Ein Sof. Our job now is to bring it down to Das and to Bina and everything. Okay, that's something else. But, right? But we all believe, we all have Emunah. Why? Because we're all fools. Fools means we all have that level of fools within us. Yeah? When it comes to Hashem, who transcends understanding of Adas, the less machshava tvisabei, and no machshava can grasp him, klal hakol kepesim besleis barach. We're all like fools when it comes to Hashem. If we would only understand that, right? We're to Hashem. He says a beautiful thing. He says, "Kedichsiv." It's written in a pasuk. Bani bar veloy eida. David HaMelech said, "I am a fool and I don't understand." Like animals, I was with you. Then he says, I'm always with you. So David HaMelech is saying, simply he's saying, I'm like a fool, I'm like an animal, but I'm with you, right? St. Tanya gives a beautiful pshat. He says, Kaloimar. What does this mean? It's not that I'm a fool and I'm still with you. I'm with you because I'm a fool. You know, right? Because I understand, I can go beyond my understanding. It's being a good fool, in other words, right? Understand? Kaloimar shebezeshani bar, the fact that I'm a fool, who behemoths are like an animal, and tom and imach, that's why I'm always like you, I'm always with you. Understand? Okay. This is something that's inherent in every Yid. It's the hidden love that every Yid has, which comes from the emunah that every Yid has. Even a kal shebekal, even a very low level, even the whole thing. You all have it, it's in our DNA. He says, therefore, therefore we find that afilu kal shebekal mipoishe Yisrael, we find in history that even the lowest of the low and the sinners of the Jewish people, nevertheless, moisrim nafsham lakadusha sashem, they're ready to have a serious nefesh. When a push comes to shav, and that pintel ayid is revealed, that chokhmah of the nefesh is revealed, they give up their life. Alaroi, the majority of cases, v'soivlim inuyim kashim, and they're ready to tolerate torture, afflictions. Shaloi lichbar b'Hashem nacham, not to deny the oneness of God. V'afim em burim v'aretz, even they might be empty people, might be ignoramuses, v'einam yoyim v'Hashem, and they have no knowledge in the greatness of Hashem. It's all true. And the gambi ma'atcha yoyim, even a little bit maybe that they do know, em misboinin im klal, they never really reflect on it or meditate on it and really internalize it. They knew it, yeah, they went to shiur once a while. Yeah, they have knowledge, but shvach. They haven't really spent their lives internalizing it. They moistrim nafsham. Machmas dev is bonnet b'Hashem klal. They definitely did not give up their life because they internally internalized this knowledge that they have about Hashem. No way. El ablishum das is bonnet. They did it without any das, without any meditation, without any reflection. Why do they do it? Raki ilu hudover shi efsha klal lichpor b'Hashem echad. They did it because it's impossible not to. They did it like as if they were doing something just. We just need to do it. It just has to be done. Belishum tam v'tayna, without any reason, without any claim. Umayna, no discussion. Why? V'haynu mishum, because Shashem echad, because this oneness of God, meir umechaye kol hanefesh, shines and gives life to every neshama. Al yedei yislap shusay, because this oneness of Hashem comes into, v'pchinas chochma shabo, in the chochma of the neshama. She lemaila min adas, which is higher than all das, v'haseichel, and all knowledge, hamusig muvin, which can be understood or grasped. Yeah, because every Yid has the Chochmah, which is connected to Chochmah Tzindus, right? What shines in the Chochmah? Or in Sof. Because Or in Sof shines in the Chochmah, that's where we get our Munah from.
Stuff we don't
understand. Or in Sof, which is higher than Yishtalshu, higher than grasping. It's what the Zohar says, less machshava, no thought can possibly grasp Hashem. That's because that's the Or in Sof we're talking about.
be with it, and I know it's not a good term, but blind faith comes from that, right?
Yeah, no, blind faith is a very good thing, but.
But it's got a negative connotation.
Yeah, sure.
Right? But that's where, why we call it that.
And it comes, that's what the Lord will say, what's the part you're missing? You seem confused about something.
We have a connection to Chochmah Atzilus, which is
the vehicle for Ohr Ein Sof.
Right. We connect to that.
We have it in us.
We have it in us.
In other words, just like the Ohr Ein Sof is fully revealed and shines and is enclosed in Chochmah Atzilus, which is why Chochmah Atzilus is that connection between higher than Atzilus and the rest, right? Ultimately, we all have that same Gilu, that same revelation in the Chochmah of our souls.
And therefore,
that's why we have connected to Hashem. That's where Emunah comes from. Although it was a real Emunah. Real Emunah means belief that it's with a certainty.
Right, because it's invested in.
Yeah, because it's actually is us. It's part of us.
Right.
So it's what we are. It's what we connected to. And that's where Mesiras Nefesh comes from. Now, in the next chapters, he's going to explain a little bit more what it means. But also, we're going to do chapter 19, then I'm just going to give you a bit of a heads up here. Then we're going to come to chapter 20 and 21, which are very, very complicated chapters. Just giving the heads up. But we'll take it slowly and we'll go through it. Because, essentially, he's going to explain the bittul of everything. In other words, what he's going to do in 20 and 21 is a little bit what he does in the entire section, second section of Tanya, which is Shara Yichud V'Emunah, right? Which is, see, there's two parts of Tanya. There was in this book there's five sections, but some three sections were added later. But Tanya wrote it in two sections. In fact, he was going to write the second section first. Then he changed his mind and wrote the section. Section one is about the struggle between the two neshamas. That's much more about how we serve Hashem, how we overcome the struggles of Hashem, but in order to serve Hashem properly, in order to really reveal this Chochmah of Anashama properly, we have to actually have the right belief system as well. Which is that ultimately, there's nothing else besides Hashem. The whole world is really bottled, is completely bottled to Hashem, right? Which is going to be explained in depth in Erchof and Chof Aleph 20 and 21. Why is he going to do that? Because he's going to explain the whole concept of Avodah Zarah, right? Because what's going to happen at the end is this, right? This is the Maltrim is getting to over. He's going to explain it properly. We'll just give you a spoiler, as I say, right? See this. So you can ask the question: what do we need to learn from? If right? Like we just said that even an ignoramus can give up his life for Hashem without learning, because we have a Munah. Yeah, that's true. The problem is that Emunah lives in Chochmah, and it's sparked when faced with a challenge, right? Yeah, it's sparked when faced with a challenge. But what happened to that same person who had Mesiras Nefesh, but every other day of the week he doesn't have Mesiras Nefesh? It's called a sinner for a reason. So the sinner gives up his life for Hashem. Why? Because he has that Chochmah of his neshama. So what happened yesterday? How come he ate treif yesterday? Or went against Hashem yesterday, right? Or was unholy yesterday? The answer is because it wasn't sparked yesterday. Everything has it in him, but it's got to be ignited. So it's ignited when faced with a challenge of Avodah Zarah, right? What he can explain after 19 explains more about this Chochmah and the Neshama, then he's going to explain how what Avodah Zarah really means. There's Avodah Zarah, proper Avodah Zarah, and then there's the Hasidus Avodah Zarah. Which is, any time we look at something that is separate from Hashem, it's really Avodah Zarah. Subtly speaking, right? So once we know that we have the Chochmah of our Nefesh, that we have that love already, it's not we have to create it, it's there. But once we know, when does it reveal itself, when does it ignite itself, when is it in full-blown working order, when we face Avodah Zarah? So if we would really come to the realization that every time we do something that's ungodly, that's Avodah Zarah, so they'd be able to bring that love every time. And that's the formula that's in the answer.
It's not letting you be passive because you've got
No, no, on the contrary.
The exact opposite.
The contrary. What he's trying to say is that the skills of every person is not such that we have the, not everyone has the ability to create. Love of Hashem and fear of Hashem is crucial to this whole Melanie experience. Right? That's become clear. That's why davening plays such an important part in Tanya and Exodus and so on and so forth. Which we still have to do. We have to, on some level, we have to do all of these things, by the way. Right? In order to get us on track. Later on in Tanya, he talks about other ideas as well, other mindsets that we can have that will always help us with it. But not everyone has the skill to develop a love on their own of Hashem, either emotionally, for sure not, but even intellectually. So therefore, this next part is about how we ignite and we relate to, give us a framework to understand how we're going to understand we don't really need to create a new love, we can actually ignite the love that's already there. Not that that's easy work either, but it's a thing that makes it more accessible. But it takes a lot of work because you've got to bring it down into all levels of consciousness. It's not enough that it lives in the chokhmah of the nefesh. That's good enough for even the sinner to have a serious nefesh when he's faced with avodah zarah, but that's not good enough not to overindulge or to do an aveira on the regular day.
That's what does in the chokhmah of the nefesh, in the lowest part of the neshama.
In any part of chokhmah. That's the point.
Yeah.
The point is that any level of our neshama is connected with the chokhmah of that level. That chokhmah level is connected to the high level of chokhmah, goes all the way back to chokhmah of
atzilus. But it's before doing. So it can't stay there. It's
got to
be.
It's got to ignite doing. It's got to ignite commitment. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what about the point about the
yechida
that he made?
It's like the yechida, same sort of thing.
But it lives in chokhmah.
Yeah, because chokhmah in chokhmah, this part, as I said, chokhmah in the third chapter was more as a tool of intellect. Now he's talking about a tool of emunah. Chokhmah serves that purpose also, that it's a vehicle for emunah. Yes, then, and therefore, because that's what chokhmah is, it's not really a koyach. It's something that can connect to chokhmah atzilus, which can carry within it an infinite idea, an infinite revelation.
Is there a chart that we can look at next time?
Sort of, yeah.
No, because I'm a visual. I'm listening because this distracts me. But I'm confusing myself as we go along. Is there something we can?
Yeah, I mean, like with the worlds and all that. Like.
Well, yeah, and then where's the nefesh? I'm not seeing.
Okay, I'll try to do that.
Gone out
remember.
Into the, it's off somewhere. You know, like it's there and then it's. When you talk, it's completely clear.
That's good. That's a step.
No,
that's a step.
If you are not Hasidic, if you haven't studied the Tanya, but you say that you're very frum, and you are, and you go to shul, and you put on, you do everything that you should do, but you've never studied this, so you don't know really anything about this, then what is your part in Jewish
life? I ask you a question, what happened before Hasidus? I mean, no, so like this. There are lots of parts of Torah that will motivate a person to do Torah mitzvahs, right?
Yeah.
And everyone has their own way, and everyone has their own derech, but there's no question that Chassidus, and particularly Chassidus Chabad, was a revelation that came to us later, and offers a deeper dimension, and without a question, it gives a person the perspective that you don't get with Chassidus. But that doesn't mean that you only serve Hashem with Chassidus, right? I mean, there are lots of from Jews, and there are lots of people that really are sincere about their service of Hashem, even the heavenly Chassidus. That's number one. Number two, what we find in our generation, if you look at Shiur, if you hear Shiurim and things like that, you'll find that Chassidus has infiltrated a lot. And has had a lot of impact. So often, it's not the words of Tanya necessarily, but there's a lot of Hasidic ideas, whether from Chabad Chassidus or other Chassidus, that is, nowadays it's like if you listen to any popular Shiur series on YouTube or anything like that, it's full of Chassidus. Quoting the to give you an idea, like there isn't one Magid Sheir doesn't quote in a Shiva Shalom, for example, right? The Slonim Rebbe, it's a very popular sefer now, the Sfas Emes or the one, you know, all these things are very, very, very popular now. Because that's it. Since Baal Shem Tov came along and revealed this was a deeper dimension, and it made Yiddishkeit much more accessible. What was happening in the time of the Baal Shem Tov was, I mean, this is another whole idea of why Chassidus was revealed when it was revealed, there's many, many different angles and explanations for it, but there was a big crisis. There was a very spiritual, there were, you know, after the pogroms of Chmielnytskyi and all these people, there was a long, and they were still healing from Shabtai Tzvi, and it was like a very, very tough time when the Moshe Yomtov came along. And there was a big divide between the Torah scholars, who were immersed in the world of Torah, and therefore obviously were much more on the page than everyone else, and the common Jew, who were very simple and didn't really see a way for them to serve Hashem. The Moshe Yomtov bridged that gap, the Moshe Yomtov showed how it's possible for every Yid, and revealed their Emunah that's there in every Yid, and that's the whole concept, right?
It's very hopeful.
Yeah, it's hopeful, but you know, but what people should make the mistake, this sometimes is made, and you'll see later in Tanya that it's not true with Tanya at all. But it's not like, it's just being positive. It's not about that, actually. It's actually extremely demanding. Yeah, it's hopeful, very hopeful.
Hopeful means if every person has capacity, that's hopeful.
Correct, yeah.
Easy enough, hopeful.
Yeah, so it did. It gave a whole new perspective, number one, on what it means to be connected to Hashem. It definitely gave a whole new perspective, as we'll learn in chapter 20 and 21 about what does the word Hashem Echad mean. There was a story, I'm trying to remember who it was, there was a story of someone, back in the day when the Hasidus first started, there was a story of an opponent of Hasidus that his son left and went to the Mizrachi Magid or something, and became a Hasid. He came back after a while and said, his father asked him, okay, so what did you learn there? He said, I learned Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He said, you joking? So he called the maidservant, you know, the helper in the house, the poor, I don't know, orphan Jewess or something, I didn't know anything. I said, what's the foundation of Yiddishkeit? He said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So she said, yeah, she says it, but I know it now. In other words, there is a depth of emunah, a depth of Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad, that Tanya, that Chassidus offers, that is deeper than before Chassidus. And also there's this concept of elevating the world, like the whole idea of what the purpose of creation is. There's a depth to serving Hashem and also an understanding, but also it's making it more accessible. If you really learn Chassidus, you take it seriously. Number one, the hope, the belief that you can do it is more. The lack of despair is more. But also you push to work harder, which is... Yeah. You, of course. When it was written, most of the population were ignorant. People in the shtetl they were very devout Yidden. They used to come to shul with Mincha Maariv and learn a little bit of Sipa Ashir, but say a lot of Tillim, right? And these were the simple Jews that Baal Shem Tov used to Makariv, but they were very ignorant. Learning today is hugely accessible. I mean, not only Hasidus-wise, generally. We live in a blessed generation. We should have to take advantage, which we don't always do, but I mean, just also from a very practical point of view, I mean, you know, Gemara, you know how accessible it is today? I mean, with Ashkel and all these things, it's unbelievable. There's a danger with that also, by the way, that often people become lazy and just learn superficially and don't toil to connect to the depth of what they're learning. Everything has a price, but overall, it's amazing. No, so I'm saying, so understanding this concept, I mean, this idea that he's going to explain, this is definitely unique to Chassidus, this idea that everything, like nothing else besides Hashem, and everything that we do is about connecting to Hashem, because everything's really part of Hashem, and if we connect to Klippas, like Satla Vodazara, that's a real typical Chassidus thing, that's something that's... And if we don't do it, it's disconnecting us from Hashem. All that, all that stuff. Hey, we'll see as we go along. But all right, we'll stop there.
Thank you. So is this the main book
of Chassidus Chabad? It's the foundation.